That's all right.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is again that God has blessed us to come together as a church family, and that is a good thing.
Amen.
I say here, last week was a tough week for many of us, but God got us through.
Yes.
And God brought us through.
Yes.
What you must needs know, whatever you are going through, don't get stuck.
Amen.
Somebody say, don't get stuck.
Don't get stuck.
Whatever you're going through, we're meant to go through it.
That's right.
Amen. We're meant to go through it. If you grieve, and grieve.
That's right.
But don't get stuck in your grief.
Amen.
And you know, the best way to get through grief is to learn how to let go. Amen. Have you noticed anything in this life never stays the same? The reason for that, every relationship that we are in and encounter, it teaches us about the true and real relationship that we're going to have in our future glory, and that's with God. So everything in this life, hold on to with a firm, loose grip. Knowing that at any moment, whatever you may have in your possession can be taken away in the blinking of an eye. You go with that thought, you know you will have a better appreciation of one another.
Amen.
Don't say it again, you have a better appreciation of one another. When you say goodbye, you need to keep in the back of your mind, this might be the last time.
Amen.
That I see you alive.
Amen.
This may be the last time that you see me alive.
Amen.
So we really need not take anything for granted. There's a word from the Lord, and I want to thank God for so many things. So many things. Brother Tony, when we got that news, I just shouted where I was. But didn't he do it? My prayer was that we would be able to see the miracles of God before our own eyes. God is a God that is very, very much active in the lives of the believer. And sometimes he'll come quickly. Sometimes we have to wait. Is that all right? The scripture has been read, and I would like for you, if you would, to stand to your family. You know it's customary here in referencing the word of God that we would stand or rest to our feet. If you would be so kind, if you're able to do so. And since we only have two verses, we're going to read them as a family. If you have the King James rendering of the book of Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. 1, 2, 3, read. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it grows, it is great among birds, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Amen. If you would just bow your heads with me. Eternal God, it's preaching time, and again, we, Father, look to hear from you. We are not so presumptuous as to believe anything occurs that should speak. Speak now, God, to your people. We are here, attentive, waiting to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Father, make not only our ears receptive, but make our hearts receptive to your word, your will, and your way. Let us leave differently than when we came. I pray that what happens here at Faith Today would last longer than what happens here at Faith Today. Father, for us in the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
You may take your seats in the presence of God in this holy assembly. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Pray with me on a topic taken from these two verses. Growing right way. Amen. Can you say that with me? Growing the right way. Come on, let's get together. Growing the right way. Amen, amen. And subtopic is kind of colloquial. It's not correct English, but it says you got to leave here. I don't like that, y'all. I never talk
about
that.
All right.
You got to leave here. Yeah, yeah. Pray with me on this topic. And this is the third of a series of parabolic sayings of Christ. Jesus, as he teaches us and gives us some indication of what heaven is like. The first one has to do with the sword and the seed. The second one we talked a little bit about yesterday, the wheat and the tare, or tares. And I think that one was named Weeds at Worship. And, this one basically is talking about a mustard seed. Which must need to know before we get into the text that in chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, this was written primarily to the Jews. And what he's really trying to get us to understand is what the kingdom of God is like. But unlike the other gospel writers, Matthew knows that for the Jew, the name of Yahweh, the name of God, was so sacred they would not let it roll off their lips. Can you fathom that? They held the name of God with such reverence, such holiness, such sacredness, that they would not even mention him by name. Matter of fact, when they wrote anything referring to him, for those note takers, they would not even write his name, but they used and it's called a tetragrammaton. A tetragrammaton. Y'all note takers, I'm going to help you out. Wait, just wait.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're going to help you out.
Amen.
Where you spell that tetragrammaton is T-R-A-G-R-A-M-M-A-T-O-N. Tetragrammaton. And that was a symbol that referred to God. They held God's name with such reverence that they would just use that word, that symbol, and it referred to Yahweh. That was the Hebrew rendering of it, but the Latin rendering of it was something a little bit different. It was the letters YHYH. They wouldn't even say his name. So, you see why Matthew, knowing it was right to this Jewish audience, did not say the kingdom of God is like, but he said the kingdom of heaven is like. And in this text he said it is like the grain of a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but a mustard seed is very, very small.
Amen.
Anybody ever seen a mustard seed?
Amen.
It's smaller than a BB. Y'all done. I gave some people some mustard seeds. So some of y'all ought to know what a mustard seed looks like. But it's very small. And this is Jesus teaching about the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew refers to it. And he says, which is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. The man that he is referring to is Jesus. Jesus took what God gave him. God gave him the gospel, the word, the message to take to humankind for redemption. So one would believe at first glance that this is a parable. Now remember that parables aren't for everybody. Some people will get it, some people won't get it, because the Bible says, I believe in Mark around chapter 4, it says that Jesus later in his ministry spoke in parables so that those who would hear would not perceive and those who would see would not understand. Because those who have their hearts hardened to the gospel message, no matter how much you explain it, they ain't going to get it nowhere.
Amen.
So Jesus spoke in parables, and those who were supposed to get it get a better understanding of what he was actually talking about. That's why he spoke in parables. Because there are hidden truths. So you would think by first glance this parable was speaking about the insignificant beginning of the kingdom of God, the church. That it would somehow start out very small and mature and grow to great significance. That in itself would be enough to shout about. That in itself would be enough to praise God about. But can we go deeper? You should understand now that at first glance you just can't read the scriptures. You got to read the scriptures. You got to study the scriptures. You got to ask God to give you insight, open up blinded eyes, that you can see what's not seen, hear what's not heard. Come on, somebody. And he's saying here that this is more than that. If you would just study the text, you would see that he was actually referring to the book of Ezekiel. In your leisure time, go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, and study that. This is actually a prophecy about this church. And don't let me lose you. Prophecy is a foretelling. In other words, Jesus is telling how his church is to grow. He says, the kingdom of God is likened unto the grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest among seed. But when it is planted, I'm just paraphrasing, it will grow into what is so large, it can be called a tree. Now, what you must need to know is that a mustard seed is an herb. I'm going to teach you a thing. It is an herb. It is not a tree. Trees are made out of what? Come on, somebody. Talk to me. Trees are made out of wood. Herbs is a plant. It's a flowering plant. But Jesus said that his church would grow to a fashion that it could be considered a tree. Somebody say, that's abnormal. Now, whenever something is abnormal, it attracts that which is abnormal. Don't let me lose you. Birds usually make their nests where? In trees. You with me? But this mustard seed plant was so big, abnormally big, that now birds was coming to lodge. Somebody say, that ain't right.
Amen.
to be huge. Why? Because narrow is the way. Oh, come on, somebody. I need a Bible reader. If you read your Bible, the Bible says narrow is the way that leadeth to life. But broad is the gate that leadeth to destruction. So it's all right to stay small. See, we have lost some. We have gained some.
Amen. leadership role. We want you to be here because, as I said before, we want the world to come into the church so that the church can get into the Word.
Amen.
We will not deal with worldliness. Yeah, when there is weeds or someone disruptive, God has given us provision in Matthew chapter 18 of how to deal with them. Look at verse 15. Moreover, this is Jesus talking, it's read in my Bible. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults. Somebody do what's wrong, we'll talk to everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, except for the one that made us mad. There's provision in the Bible of how we're supposed to handle this. Somebody upset you, somebody stepped on you, you got off with them, go to them. Don't go to their mama.
Amen.
Don't go to your co-worker telling them about it. They can't do nothing about it.
Amen.
The Bible says go to them. It says tell him his fault. And it's between you and him. Or you and her. See, nobody got involved. It's still private. You see, it's still private. Now you're going to have some people after even you tell them, they ain't going to hear you. Let's read on. Somebody say read on.
Read on.
And it says, listen to this. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Then you take somebody with you. It's still kind of private. Y'all trying to work it out. God has given us provision. You ain't got to tell nobody but them. If then they won't hear you, take one or two witnesses.
Amen.
And be careful. It ain't in the Bible, but just don't take anybody. Don't take anybody. Take somebody that's got some freedom, some wisdom, okay? And listen to this. If they still won't hear you, they still causing trouble in the church. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Then you make it public. But it's still within the confines of that assembly. Salvation, you ain't got no business knowing what's going on over here at Faith. Your shade growing under these other surrounding churches. So far, it ain't got no further than a church conference. I'm talking to you people now who have meetings after the meeting.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so you got part of that? You've already had a meeting. There you go, having another meeting. Well, let me just say, your meeting ain't official. It says, that what it says, take them to the church. And listen to this. You know, we got some folk that's real stuff. When you get the devil in you, can't nobody tell you nothing. Ain't no shame in that game. You can't shame him. When Satan gets in your heart, he's in your heart. And listen, if you won't hear the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. You look at him then and say, you got to go. You got to go. And it is not to punish them, it's to change their behavior.
Uh-huh. Amen.
So, let me just say again, you got weeds ain't supposed to be in the church.
Amen.
No, 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 no. That's in the world. When we come here, everybody's supposed to be real.
That's right.
But we know we got some fake folk in church.
Amen.
Because they put on a good front.
Amen.
They look like we, talk like we, sing like we, preach like we, but they tags. How do I know they tags? Because they don't produce no fruit. Fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy. If you ain't no better than what you was last year, if you got a problem with somebody, you still got a problem with somebody you had 5 or 6 years ago, they ain't the problem, you are.
Amen.
I'm supposed to love just a little bit more than I did last week.
Amen.
I'm supposed to have a little bit more joy than I did last week.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be a little bit more long-suffering than I was last week. We got to learn how to put up with one another.
Amen.
Looks like I say, we've got to be gotten out of the church.
Yes, I just want to make that clear. Bible says that abnormalities cause other abnormalities. Jesus is really saying that a shrub or a flowering plant, a mustard seed, is not a tree. Now, before I take my seat, I want you to get this last point. Notice that the birds, these same birds, when y'all read scripture, you got to look for similarities, you got to hear the scripture speaking to you. These birds appeared in the first parable. Y'all remember the seed that fell along the wayside and the birds came and these same birds. These same birds are still up to no good. Oh, y'all missed that. This ain't talking about birds, y'all. This is talking about folk. Folk who are up to no good don't normally change. It says that these birds come and lodge where they ain't got no business. Normally, birds are found in trees. Now, because of the abnormality, the abnormal growth, the size of this tree, it's attracted them birds. And that's why I'm telling you, it ain't all about the numbers and the growth. I look at growth differently now. I would much rather, for faith, I've been here over 18 years. I would much rather you grow spiritually than physically. I hope somebody in 18 years is better spiritually than what you used to be. There ought to be somebody that have seen the miracles of God and your faith has increased even now to the point that you don't have to wait for the pastor to pray for you. Then you can pray for yourself. You don't have to wait for church to have church. You don't need no preacher to have church. You don't need no choir. You can have church right in your own house. And you talk about somebody, you pray for your own self. The same Holy Spirit that's in me is in you. My Bible tells me that he's not a respecter of persons, so if he will listen to me, he will listen to you. It's got to be living right. Somebody say, you got to be living right. Got to be living right. Got to be trying. Got to be at least trying your best to live right. Now understand, while church growth is important, it's not about the numbers. It's about the quality, not quantity. Lastly, those birds, they keep showing up. They showed up and they ate the seeds that fell along the wayside because the seeds had no soil. The birds came and devoured it. These same birds now are attracted to this abnormally large flower. Even that they go there now, the Bible says, and make the nest. They're lodging in the branches. I want to propose to you that we are the size that we should be. Amen. We've lost some, we've gained some. But the Bible here is teaching us that church growth was never meant to be abnormally large. And the reason for that is that the way that leadeth to life, the Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. But broad is the way, broad is the gate that leadeth to destruction. And it says that there be few that find it. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen, amen. We extend a Christian invitation. Those who may not know Jesus as Lord of their life and Savior of their soul, while the choir gives us an invitational, these people are coming around and in moral support, give your hand to them, but give your heart to the Lord. This is your